Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Thursday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Our man Dan from out in Texas, he's fired up because he won a hat yesterday. He's the first to log in today. Good morning, Dan. We've got a good show lined up for you today. We're going to, second portion of the show, we have the Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup with Mike Rideout from the PrepZone.com. Hot and heavy with district tournaments and high school basketball playoffs starting up. But first, he's back. He took a week off. He was exhausted from all his college football knowledge. Our good friend, Brent Beard. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
Shane, I'm doing well. But that doesn't mean there's not stuff going on in the league, right? So there's always plenty to talk about.
There really is, Brent. First off, let's talk about the dollars and cents that the SEC has, or what they made off of last year. Talk a little bit about the SEC.
Well, it's just staggering, frankly, when you still look at the money, even during the COVID times. For the 2019-2020 fiscal year, the league still made money. And basically the thing that people always want to know is, what did they make per school? The previous year was $45 million, or this year was for $45 million. The previous year was $44 million. So even despite the COVID situation, the league is still going to make money as it always does. It's just incredible. And Shane, again, and we have to remember with this, a lot of this is, some of it's pre-COVID, some of it's in the middle of COVID, so it's a mixed bag here. But, I mean, you can really see when you look at the numbers why it was so important for Greg Sankey to get a football season in as far as the television money is concerned. Now, they still lost a lot of money on ticket sales because the attendance was limited, but there's no question, Shane, is it that the TV money drives the train, and we see that coming out again, and what the league gets as far as they can dish out to each school.
So, Brent, when you say the SEC, each school
yes.
made $45
yes.
million dollars this year.
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Wow,
that's right.
That's staggering, considering.
It is.
I know it really is. Most of that comes from TV, correct?
Yeah. Sure, yes. And we need to remember, too, that the SEC has redone its deal with television, going from CBS to ESPN. So that will be interesting to see how that will affect the figures. I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, and Shane, we're only a few years away from what everybody really believes now is going to happen, the playoffs being expanded. So, I mean, you project this to 3, 4, 5 years down the line and thinking what the money will be then.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be staggering. Brent, we got a Facebook Live brought to you by Metal Law, the only official law firm partner of your Florida Gators. John says, Brent is my favorite guest that you have on. He is full of knowledge and nuggets. So you got a huge fan
Thank
out
you.
There, Brent. I don't know how much you paid John to say that, but Brent, let's talk about UCF. Okay, Josh Heupel and Danny White both go to Tennessee. They've yet to hire an AD or a head coach. Seems kind of odd. I mean, do you see a head coach? And I know Jeff Lebby, who was there with Heupel, who's with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. He seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, they have the most recent reports about UCF. It looks like, and now we're not saying this is going to happen because things can derail very quickly, but Jeff Lebby is a very strong candidate Jeff Lebby obviously has done a really good job at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. Well, the question would be, well, isn't Lane Kiffin in actuality the offensive coordinator? You could make that argument, but anybody who knows Lebby says he knows what he's doing. He was the UCF quarterback coach before going to on to Ole Miss eventually. So he is a guy that's worth looking at, frankly. Now, look, Gus Malzahn's been mentioned for this job. Gene Chizik's been mentioned for this job and some other people, but right now it looks like it's going to be Jeff Lebby. Now, folks may not have heard this, but they've actually made an AD hire, and he comes from Arkansas State, and I may mispronounce his last name, but this is Terry Mohar. And Terry really did a good job at Arkansas State. People say, well, now what does that mean? But what it means is when he was there at Arkansas State, they had a $90 million facility upgrade. And I don't care who you are, that's pretty impressive. Now get this. Their annual revenue went from $15 million in 2012 to $35 million in 2019. So he left Arkansas State in a better place. People rave about him. I've talked to a couple of folks who know him, and they really think he's going to do a good job. So, and I was told, Shane, I'm curious, the figures you've heard on this. I knew for years that UCF had a student population of about 50,000. When I was told by someone in their conference that does radio that their student population now is around 70. So my point to that is, and I'm curious what you think about UCF, is, look, it's a good job. And certainly they've had wide open offenses with the previous coaches. They've had, obviously, like Scott Frost and Josh Heupel, but that's kind of where we are right now for UCF.
I think UCF is by far the better job than USF because they have their own on-campus stadium. As you mentioned, it's a huge school. Now, a lot of those students, I think, are, quote, considered commuter-type students.
They are. That's right, yes.
But still, it's in a great location. And, you know, I think for them to take that next step as a football program or just athletic programs, they probably need to get out of the American eventually.
Yes.
I don't know when that will happen. But I do think UCF is a team that, you know, shoot, why couldn't they be in the SEC or the ACC or something along those lines? We got a text here on the Titanomar hotline for you, and it comes from Daryl. And it's funny, he wanted to know, do you think Gus Malzahn is going to end up coaching somewhere next year?
Well, he's got $21 million to sit on the front porch and rock in the rocking chair. I think Gus will be very selective. I don't think he will, again, we never know. But I mean, obviously he's not, he won't be coaching now unless something else comes up, but he obviously is available. Now, my guess is Gus will probably either be, maybe an offensive coordinator for someone at some point, or he'll get a smaller job if something comes open and kind of reinvent himself along that line. The thing Gus has got to do is, as much of a quarterback whisperer as Gus has been rumored to be, Gus really did not do a very good job at all of developing quarterbacks when he was at Auburn, particularly with Bo Nix. And Shane and I have talked about that a lot. So that's a really good question. I think he sits out this year, Shane, don't you? But I think after that, and after he does so, talks to a lot of people, he may be back coaching in 2022.
Yeah, John says here on Facebook Live, I think Gus is going to be working with Chizik and Chris Doering next year, and I kind of agree with that. I think Gus is I think he'd be very good in the studio, and it is, as you mentioned, it's kind of late in the year now. I don't even know what head jobs are out there other than UCF, and I think everybody knows Jeff Lebby's going to get that job. Brent, talk about some of the football programs that have 90-plus wins in the last 10 years.
Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia lead that group. Now, what does that remind you of, Shane? It reminds you of the playoffs, doesn't it? I mean, these are basically the teams that have, that we have had in the playoffs. Now, Georgia had 100. I won't go into all the numbers, but Boise State had 97. LSU had 95. Wisconsin, 93. And even you had Oklahoma State and Stanford with 90. So this is the last 10 years. You flesh that out, and you see what a good job these guys have done with the program. But the winning of schools over the last 10 years of 90-plus wins, Shane, I'm sure that doesn't surprise you in the slightest, does it?
No, not at all. Not at all. We're speaking with Brent Beard here on the Titan MR Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. February is your lucky month at WrapSpot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Brent, the transfer portal is one of the hottest topics out there, and now they're talking about having a director of the transfer portal. Explain to us what that means.
Washington State has hired what they call his title is Director of Transfer Recruiting. Now, this is not Director of Overall Recruiting. This is Director of Transfer Recruiting. So what that tells you is what a difference a transfer portal has made. And I think you'll start seeing probably a lot more of this. And I'm guessing that a lot of these schools have already got that. They may not be having it in name. It may be part of their other responsibilities. Now, the other thing we need to not forget is by April, the one-time waiver rule is supposed to be in vogue at that point, and it'll be up and going, and we have no idea what all that's going to mean, guys, frankly. We will see, and that's going to add more to it. But Shane, some of these schools, the bottom line is they're trying to get ahead in the game, of dealing with this transfer portal, and particularly schools and the non-power five are probably going to be really heavy into this, and they're going to have to cover it and get some extra personnel in order to do it. So, it's going to be a headache, but it's going to be fascinating to watch and see how this happens.
Yeah, it really is. Let's kind of go around the league here a little bit. Let's start with Alabama. Saban loses another assistant coach, which seems like he loses four or five every year. He's lost, I think this year he's probably lost the most, would you say, Brent?
Yeah. He basically got a commitment out of a lot of these guys about 2 or 3 years ago for them to hang around for 2 or 3 years. And again, after the national championship, obviously you lose a lot of coaches. Carl Scott is the latest one. He is the cornerbacks coach. He's likely going to the Vikings from what we hear. Different names we've heard for that job. Deshae Townsend, you might even know, Shane, frankly, has been rumored as one of several for that job. So we will see where that goes. I think the most interesting Alabama note is former Bama head coach Mike Dubose is the head coach at Opp High School. Now, obviously, he's from Opp, so this is going home for him.
Where is Opp?
Opp is that's a great question. It's a really small small town in Alabama. Has about 6,400 people in it. It's more in the southern part of the state, frankly. And I think if you blink and go through it now, here's what's also interesting about, high school coaches in the state of Alabama. And by the way, Dubose was actually on the staff in another position the last couple of years, but other coaches in the high school level in Alabama is Mark Hudspeth at Gulf Shores High. He's kind of having to reinvent himself. And then the more interesting one is at St. Michael Catholic, Philip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Yes, that Philip Rivers is going to be coaching high school football. So, Shane, how about going from being an NFL quarterback to the next year you're coaching high school football?
Yeah, well, he's going to enjoy it because I did the same thing. He's got a hell of a lot more money than I have. So they're probably not paying him, and he's got a slew of kids that are probably going to be playing quarterback for the next 15 years for him. Speaking of Auburn, staying in the state of Alabama, what do you know? They're getting ready to build a new football facility.
Well, here's the bottom line as far as some insight into what happened here. They've talked about this for years, but the big money boosters were sitting on their wallet until they got rid of Gus, and that's just the honest truth with this. And now that he's gone and Brian Harsin is in there, they have ponied up the money to get this done. So, and it's going to be your typical building, if there is a typical football building, with all the bells and the whistles that go along with it, the players' lounge and the barber shop, and two recording studios and a flight simulator. And people are probably listening to us or laughing at that. But Shane, you know this like I do. If you build one of these things, you got to have that in there, don't you? Or something similar to it. That's just the way it is.
There's no question, Brent. And I can't tell you how many shows I do and people that host the shows disagree with me when it comes to recruiting about these facilities. And does a kid choose another school because there's a better barbershop or a better recording studio or a golf simulator, flight simulator? Probably not. But if you don't have a football facility,
that's right.
I'm killing you. And I'm speaking from the school down the street right here. It's killing us. And does that mean we're going to have a top three recruiting class in the country when we have it built? Not necessarily, but it's going to give us a damn opportunity to have a top three class because we don't have that chance right now. And I argue with people about it all the time. Kids don't choose that. Well, they don't choose it, but they're ruling you out when you don't have one.
Right. So, yes, that's the bottom line, is you don't give them an excuse to go somewhere else because your school doesn't have it. Shane, and I'll say this real quick, my favorite recruiting story that I heard years ago is there was a kid that went to Texas A&M because they had an ice cream machine near where the dorms were. Yeah. So, you know this very well. You never know why a kid chooses a school, do you, Shane?
No, you don't. And my argument with people about this is it's not going to change if Vanderbilt builds one. It may help Vanderbilt get more 3 stars.
Right.
But you're still not competing against the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Ohio State for the same kids. But when you're talking about Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, all the big boys, for Florida to be in the hunt, we have to have one, and we got one coming here in 2 years.
Yes.
Brent, speaking of the Gators, I hope I'm around for this because I may have to go to South Bend, but Florida and the Fighting Irish are going to have a home-and-home series.
Yeah, it's great. I don't care what year it is. This is a great matchup, and unfortunately, it's 2031 and 32. But people haven't seen this. The 2031 Gator schedule, they're at Texas. They're at Notre Dame. They play Arizona State. That's probably a home game. And then, obviously, Florida State, too. So, man, I don't care what year you are, that's an incredible non-conference schedule. And again, we have no idea how good these teams will be at that point, but I salute anybody who schedules like this. Now, again, the thing we got to remember with schedules, and we found out this year, is you don't just have to schedule everything 10 years in advance, but this was exciting when it came out news, and it's exciting now, and it will be then when the game's here.
There's no question. The Georgia Bulldogs, speaking of a facility, they're opening up, I think, after their G-Day game, their spring game, which I don't even know if they're going to have spring games. They're going to be moving into their $80 million facility.
Yes.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, and by the way, Georgia's spring game's April 17th. So, they're planning, these schools are, Shane, as if they're going to have a spring and a spring game. So that's the interesting thing about that. And by the way, a couple of guys that we thought might not be coming back for Georgia are coming back for Georgia. Demetrius Robinson, the wide receiver, and Julian Rochester, the defensive lineman. Now, Robinson hasn't really done much since he's been there, but he's still a veteran receiver. And Rochester is a tremendous guy in coming back because he's really good. So just to update the Georgia roster a little bit.
Yes, indeed. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Metal Law. Mary says, Shane, you are correct. It is the generation we have taught our children must have the best of everything.
Yep.
Yes and no, but I'll be honest. Like I've told many people these stories. When my son was after his ninth and 10th grade high school football years, we went to all the one-day camps in the entire Southeast. We visited pretty much every SEC school and every ACC school. And me, being a former player, knowing what we had and seeing what these kids had, I was jealous. I mean,
sure.
And when I walked into that, Clemson facility with the tour that Dabo Swinney gave us, I was like, sign me up right now. I want to be a Clemson Tiger. And my son was the same way. I was blown away at Georgia's facility when we were there. And now they're getting ready to move into a new one.
Oh yeah.
Alabama's was crazy. Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And that's why Scott Strickland, you have to tip your hat to Scott Strickland because he got our football facility being built because he built so much great stuff when he was the AD at Mississippi State, and we have to have it. So I agree with what Mary says, but it's not so much I guess it is the generation, but me being an old school guy, I freaking love those places because
– Oh, yeah. And Shane, let me say this real quick. People may not realize this, but another building that's really important is the academic building. People are building these things, too. As a matter of fact, before Will Muschamp left, and I think they call it the Doty, and that's named after a big money donor, is he raved about that at SEC Media Days, saying it was an incredible facility for academics where they've got tutoring and they can study and all this other stuff. I mean, you say, well, can't they go to the library? Well, I'm sure they can. But the reality is, and Shane's right on this, folks. We don't necessarily like the arms race, but it's there. And I can tell you, Shane, if one SEC school builds a big academic building, you can bet a whole bunch of others have it in the plans.
Yeah, well, Florida was the first to have the state-of-the-art academic facility. I forgot what we call it. It was the Office of Student Life when I was in school, but they moved it, and it is phenomenal. I will give us that. Brent, let's talk Kentucky real quick before we get to some of the other schools. I assume Joey Gatewood is penciled in as the starter. Who else do they have there at the quarterback position?
Well, at this point, that's going to be a very interesting competition. He will be among the guys, and he's got to do a lot of improving. Bo Allen, who they really like, I think Bo's sophomore this year. They've also got Nick Scalzo and Kaya Sharon. Now, they've also had, people may have missed this, but Will Levis is transferring from Penn State. Now, just because he's coming from Penn State doesn't mean he'll get the job. But Shane, that will be an interesting spring, will it not? And they've got a new offensive coordinator in Lem Cohen, who a lot of people like. So he's from the Rams. So keep your eye on that Kentucky quarterback situation.
Yep, LSU. I want to say they got a transfer linebacker from Clemson, if I remember correctly. Also, what's going on with their Title IX investigation?
Yeah, Mike Jones is a linebacker that has transferred there. That they think he's going to be able to fit in with that linebacking crew. Keep your eye too on this Title IX investigation with LSU. The Department of Education is involved with this, and they're doing their own review with this. This is not going to be something that will happen overnight. This is going to take months. But, again, the problem is you had several football players. Darius Geis has mentioned Drake Davis, among a couple of them that were involved with crimes of violence against women, and Title IX is investigating this. And I'm just telling you, this is very serious for LSU. And again, I'm not going to pretend to be an attorney here and understand all that's going on with this, but this could affect LSU very much. And back on the field real quick, Brian Thomas, number 88 player in the nation, a wide receiver, is committed to play at LSU, one of the better players in the state. So that will help their receiving corps.
South Carolina is talking about allowing fans at spring practice. Did I read that correctly, Brent?
Yeah, you did. And I think this is more Shane Beamer trying to get on the good side of the fans, which is probably a pretty good thing to say. Now, obviously, they would be the protocols with COVID-19. We don't know how all that would work at this point, but it's just one of those things on they have Carolina Calls is what they call it, the weekly coaching show. He was on there and kind of threw a bone to the fans saying that he may have some of those open up to where fans can come watch them.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if that all transpires. Okay, I say the best for last, Brent, because I just think it's comical. The Tennessee Volunteers, they have their coach, but they still don't have a defensive coordinator. But Kevin Steele is probably sitting down the hallway in an office. What's his role with the Tennessee football program?
Well, I think it almost depends on the day. I mean, you're right. I mean, for what I know, he's still there. And they were looking at Al Washington, the linebacker coach at Ohio State. Now, there are kind of conflicting reports about this that one I heard earlier this week on Sirius Radio that said that he had turned the job down. And then I've also seen where he has yet to decide. So that situation is still up in the air. That's going to be important. And it's also important because Henry Toa, the Tennessee linebacker, likely is not going back to Tennessee. He may end up at Alabama before it's over, but he's one of the better linebackers in the nation, much less the SEC. But you're right. The Kevin Steele situation is very interesting there. But regardless, Kevin Steele's, even if he's just hanging around, he's making a whole lot of money. I mean, in just 2 weeks, he was making more, Shane, than most people make in their life. So these contracts are just incredible, aren't they?
It is. And you know, I know Kevin Steele a little bit. I was with him when he was the linebacker coach when I was with the Panthers for 2 years. I think he's a phenomenal defensive coordinator.
He really is.
And if I'm Josh Heupel, a young guy who is coming into a league that he's not familiar with, the dude right down the hallway has had so much success on the defensive side of the football. I don't know why you just don't make him your defensive coordinator. It makes too much sense.
Here's the problem with he was looked upon as someone who behind the scenes tried to get Gus Malzahn fired. So, and I'm with you. Kevin Steele is one of the better D coordinators in the entire league. So I think probably at this point, Heupel may be pretty wary of that situation. But I'm not speaking out of turn here. This has been reported in several newspapers. So I'll throw that caveat in there that, yes, he is very good, but the reality of it is there are so reports about him trying to get Malzahn out. So, unfortunately, that has to be factored in, too.
Yeah, good point. Got any nuggets before we let you go, Brent?
Well, they're always nuggets here, aren't they, brother? one of the Tennessee linebackers, Jameer Johnson, is going to A&M. And I think he will do a good job with them also. T. Martin from Tennessee is headed to the NFL. He's going to be joining the Ravens. Now, Phil Fulmer made some promises to him that obviously after Phil Fulmer was out as AD, that is no longer in place. So he's off to the NFL. Ole Miss got a nice pickup from Maryland linebacker Chance Campbell, 6'3", 235. I give Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin a lot of credit. They're trying to beef up this defense. They've done it through recruiting and also with a guy like Chance Campbell, who is coming, and I think will do a nice job for them along that line too. But those are a few things going on. We're still trying to get, as we mentioned, spring dates about some different with different schools. Those are kind of slowly coming out at this point too. So, and by the way, Matt Campbell, people may have heard this, signed a 3-year extension, $3 million in raises for his staff. I always appreciate coaches who do that for their staff, that they'll say, look, before I get a raise, my staff's going to have a raise too. And you've got to admire the loyalty for that. So, and the reason I bring that up is Campbell's name at Iowa State's been mentioned for a lot of these SEC jobs, but for now he's staying put. Shane, does that surprise you at all, or you expected him to jump ship in the next year or so?
He must really like Ames, Iowa, and he must like coaching in the Big 12. And maybe he sees, you know what, there's only two teams I really have to try to beat, Texas and Oklahoma. Yep. I've beaten Texas handily. You know, do I want to go battle in the toughest conference in all of football in the SEC? No, I'll stay here in Ames. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, good point. So
good stuff, Brent.
Always, brother. Enjoyed it very much.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
That's Brent Beard. Join us on the Titan More Hotline. You can follow him at Brent Beard on Twitter. At Comfort Temp, comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchased, $199 value. Service department's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This day in sports, in 1990, huge upset. Buster Douglas knocks out Mike Tyson in the 10th round in Tokyo, Japan to win the world heavyweight boxing title. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the PrepZone.com's Mike Rideout talking a little high school basketball. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Darlene Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Aikido America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all our great sponsors that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Nike Sensei, Dave & Buster's, opening soon Prime & Pearl, and coming spring of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurs Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go back to the Titan MRI Hotline, and we're joined by the PrepZone.com's main man, Mike Rideout. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. How are you today?
Doing well. Well, Mike, I know you guys have been very busy. We want to bring you back in and talk a little bit about high school basketball. I know we got district tournaments that are wrapping up or have wrapped up, getting ready to start the playoffs. Give us a little rundown of some good games you've been calling.
Well, here's the interesting thing, Shane. We broadcast a total of 7 regular season games on the radio, boys basketball on 106.9. Yeah, we lost our first game of the year due to COVID. But get this, Shane, of our 7 games that we broadcast on the radio, 3 of them went to overtime. We also had a 2-point game, a 1-point game, and a 2-point game with 2 minutes to play. How about that?
Wow, that's good stuff.
Yeah, our last game was Eastside Gainesville last Friday, and Eastside won that game 52-50. Gainesville came close, but, you know, Eastside's having a phenomenal season. I also broadcast Eastside at Hawthorne. That was a 1-point win for Eastside. Hawthorne missed a shot at the buzzer that would have won it for them. So, yeah, all in all, it's been a pretty good year, all things considered. So I'm just thankful that we have finally gotten through the regular season and now we are into postseason.
Okay. Talk a little bit about some of the district tournaments that have taken place. And they've done it like they've always done in the past. You have the district championship game. If you win it, you host. If you lose, you go on the road, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Girls or boys? You want me to start with boys, girls?
Whatever you want to go with.
Okay, let's look at girls first because girls basketball played their district tournaments last week, and tonight is actually the first round of the state playoffs for girls basketball. I think the biggest story in the area is probably Buholtz High School, just because they've got a first-year coach, Nia Johnson. I don't know if you remember the name, Shane, but Nia Johnson.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, she won 2 state titles at PK Young. She went on to play at Baylor, won a national championship, played in the WNBA, and now she's the head coach of the Buholtz Lady Bobcats. They rallied last Friday in the district championship game. They were down double digits against Lake City Columbia. They came back. They went on a 21-0 run and took a double-digit lead and ended up winning the game by 10. Yeah, phenomenal game. So they're playing really well right now. They're 14-4 on the season. They will be at home tonight against Milton. We'll have the call at theprepzone.com. Marty Palman will join me for that tonight in Class 6A Region 1. But, yeah, Nia Johnson has done a phenomenal job in her first season as the head coach of the Lady Bobcats. Outside of that, I think the biggest story is going to be in Class 1A. You've got several teams in this area who are really good, and unfortunately, one of them won't get to Lakeland. You've got number 3 Hawthorne, which is 17-4 under head coach Cornelius Ingram. They are the defending state champions. They're at home against Fort Meade tonight in the regional semifinals. I think they'll cruise in that one. However, the winner of that game will likely play Wildwood. Hawthorne is ranked 3rd in the state right now. Wildwood has been number 1. They're currently number 2 in the state. And if Hawthorne and Wildwood win, those two teams would play for the right to go to the Final 4. Now, last year, Hawthorne benefited because that game was at Hawthorne. This one would be at Wildwood for the right to go to the Final 4. And then you've got Trenton, which is another team that, you know, I think has a chance to win a state title, although they just recently kicked one of their players off the team, so we'll see how that affects them. But Trenton actually got a bye tonight, Shane, due to COVID. Hamilton County had to cancel their game due to COVID, so Trenton gets a bye. They won't have to play until Tuesday. And if they win that one, they're going to the Final 4. And I've heard that their possible opponent in their next game also could be dealing with COVID issues. They may end up playing the team that they beat for the district championship, Brantford. Now, that's not confirmed yet, but I heard that Madison County was having some COVID issues. So haven't got the official word on that. But either way, I think Trenton could win that game on Tuesday, even if it's Madison County. So look for Trenton to be in the Final 4. So those are two of your bigger storylines, I guess. PK Young, you have to feel, you know, hearts and prayers go out to that program. Shane, they played 8 games this year. They are going to play at Masters Academy in Oviedo tonight. Their season could come to an end, but at least they got into the postseason. So we'll see if Willie Powers can get the troops to rally and win on the road there. But they lost to St. Joseph Academy in the district championship game. No shame in losing to St. Joe, and they kept it close. St. Joe's 20-0. So PK Young, even though they've only played 8 games, still played well in that district championship. So that's a look at girls basketball. North Marion down in the Ocala area, they're also having a good year in 4A Region 2, 18-4 on the year. They're going to be at home tonight against Crystal River. So moving on to the guys, Shane, Eastside, Santa Fe, I think that the two best teams or the two teams that have a chance to make a run, will throw Hawthorne in there, even though they, you look at their record and yeah, it's okay, but they are defending state champions and I think you have to consider them. But Eastside and Santa Fe, Shane, they're going to play for the district championship on Friday night. First of all, Santa Fe survived a scare. You know, they've got the kid who has signed with North Carolina State, but they were down with 2.5 minutes to play yesterday. Their season was on the line, and they were able to come back and beat Bradford of Stark to advance. So it's all about survive and move on, and that's what Santa Fe did. So that game on Friday night, Eastside has one loss this season, Shane. Their only loss was in overtime to Santa Fe. So you know they're going to want some revenge tonight or Friday night against that Santa Fe team.
Yeah, no question. I want to say Columbia Lake City, they have a pretty good team this year, right?
Yeah, they do. In fact, Gainesville won their quarterfinal game against Buchholz on Tuesday night. So Buchholz's season came to an end. Gainesville played Columbia yesterday at Tallahassee Lincoln. The game, they were hoping to play the game in Lake City, but apparently the gym wasn't available, so they had to play that game at Lincoln, which is the top seed in that district. And Lincoln beat Gainesville, got out to a 29-8 lead in the first quarter, and it was too big of a hole for Gainesville to overcome. So Columbia ends up winning that game yesterday. So Columbia will advance, and they will play against Tallahassee Lincoln, which is the number one seed in that district. But tough year for Gainesville High School. Kelly Beckham, oh so close, Shane. He finishes the season sitting at 798 career wins. You have to wonder whether or not he's going to come back. There's been some mention of him possibly not returning next season. And just to put that into perspective, first of all, the all-time leader in the state in career wins, a guy by the name of Ed Kirshner, who is the retired Oviedo coach, he won 901 games. But when you look at guys that have won 700 or more, it's a small group. The only previous coaches who compiled 700 wins in Florida were Bernard Wilkes of Jacksonville Reball. He won 758 games. Floyd Andrews at four different West Palm Beach area schools won 743 games. And then Vince Schaefer at Miami Senior won 704 games. And one other coach who just got his 800th win on January the 30th against Tampa King, but that's Joe Finland of Tampa Prep. So a very small elite group here, 39 seasons for Kelly Beckham, 798 wins. Boy, I sure hope he comes back for another year and gets to join that 800 club, because it's been quite the career for Kelly Beckham at GHS. But they've dealt with injuries this year. They've dealt with COVID this year. Heck, even Coach Kelly Beckham had COVID. His assistant has had COVID. So it's just been a tough year overall for basketball in the area. But at least we got to getting to the end point here now.
Yeah, and I think when you look at – I think Kelly will come back. I hope he does. And, you know, he hasn't had the talent on the court that he's had in the past. Mike, I want to go back to the girls. I think you said Trenton got a bye tonight because Hamilton County had to opt out because of COVID. Let me ask you this. So Trenton and Hamilton were scheduled to play. Is that for that mm-hmm. was that for the district title?
No, this is the for the first round of the playoffs.
First round of the playoffs. Okay.
First round of the playoffs, yeah.
What would have happened if Trenton had COVID issues as well? Both teams could not play. What happens then?
That's a good question. I'm guessing in that scenario, and I'm thinking out loud here, I can't say this with certainty, but it would make sense that both teams would have to forfeit, you know, and then the team in the bracket above them, you know, would move on. And it's certainly possible we could have a scenario like that. You know, we talked about this back in the fall when there were three area football teams the week of the state playoffs, Shane, the first round of the playoffs, that had to forfeit their game due to COVID. And it wasn't even a situation where the team had COVID, just due to contact tracing. they ended up losing so many, like a St. Francis Catholic, for example. They lost so many other linemen due to contact tracing that they just weren't not, they were not going to be able to compete in their state playoff game, and they had to forfeit. So, yeah, who knows what will happen. We're hopeful that we can get to the end of February, but it's certainly possible that you could have two teams that are scheduled to play each other, both have COVID issues and have to forfeit, and you know, somebody's going to benefit in that situation. And Trenton will benefit anyway, obviously, because they're moving on. But then also, if they get Brantford instead of Madison County, they've beaten Brantford all three times that they played this year, and that would be for the right to go to the Final Four. That'll be on Tuesday night in the region finals for Trenton. So, yeah, we'll see. Now, Trenton, if they do get to the Final Four, Shane, they would hook up with either Hawthorne or Wildwood, most likely, in the state semifinals on February the 24th.
Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. Speaking with Mike Rideout from thepreppzone.com. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Melton Law. Sandy says, my son wrestled at GHS and we had the worst gym in the state of Florida. They've redone the gym since then, but don't get me started on the athletic facilities in Alachua County. I could do a 5-hour show on that and raise hell because I think it's totally ridiculous how bad our kids have it here. Mike, so my question to you, high school basketball, would you say the three teams in the North Central Florida area that have a chance to make a run would be Columbia, Lake City, Santa Fe, and Eastside, those three teams?
Yeah, I would say probably one of those two teams, because remember, they are in the same district. So at some point in round two, if they both win, they would have to face each other again. So you would have the, you know, the winner moving on to the region final, one game from the Final Four. But again, I wouldn't necessarily count out Hawthorne either. Hawthorne,
that's true.
They're the defending state champions. Greg Bowie, you know, I think he's got a team that can compete for a state championship. So we'll see if they can make a little bit of a run. Hawthorne is playing the top seed in their district. Hawthorne was actually the number two seed in 1A District 7, but Hawthorne's playing the top seed Williston on Friday night for the district title. That means that they're in. So Hawthorne will be headed to the state playoffs. And it's a little bit different, too, for the smaller classifications than the larger classifications. You only have to win two games in the smaller classifications, 1A through 4A, and you're in 1A, actually, let me correct myself. In 1A, the smallest classification, you only have to win two games. So Hawthorne would only have to win a regional semifinal and a region final to get to the Final Four. Whereas, you know, 2A through on up to the largest classification would have to win three games in order to get to the Final Four, all the way up to 7A. So
is the Final Is the Final Four still in Daytona?
No, it's in Lakeland. It's actually been there. Yeah. It's been there for years. And, you know, they'll be back in Lakeland this year. So we'll see. I think that we have a chance to have one, maybe two teams. I really like Santa Fe's chances just because they got the big man. You know, I mentioned the NC State signee. But, again, Eastside stands in their way. Eastside's having a phenomenal season, 22-1, I believe. They're only lost coming in overtime to Santa Fe. So one of those two teams will play in a region final, and I think they could win that and get to the Final Four. So we'll see. But I feel good about where we're at with basketball, got through it, you know, with COVID, and then hopefully, you know, with only just a couple weeks, 3 weeks maximum left in the season, you know, we can completely get through basketball season.
Kevin says on Facebook Live, those Red Devils want to have something to say about those Hornets returning back to state. So, hey, Mike, let us know how everybody can check out thepreppzone.com and the games that you'll be having, you'll be calling here in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll have coverage of the Milton at Buholtz girls basketball game tonight, 7 o'clock game. We'll be on there at 6:45 with our pregame coverage. You can listen to it online at thepreppzone.com. We're also going to broadcast Bell at Trenton on Friday, boys basketball in the 1A District 6 championship. At the Prep Zone. And also MainStreetDailyNews.com, Shane. I'm the sports director for Main Street Daily News. A lot of high school stuff over there as well. But you can also, you know, keep up with us daily on Twitter at the Prep Zone and on Facebook at the Prep Zone.
We got a question here for you. Kevin wants me to ask you about Frank Beasley leaving the FHSAA to return to coaching.
That was pretty interesting. I heard that story yesterday. So congratulations to Frank. I guess he had that itch to return. So certainly can't blame him. And I'm really happy for him. I think that he'll do a good job. I enjoyed it when, you know, he coached down there in the Ocala area. And it's good to see him returning to coaching. But yeah, that was kind of surprising when I heard the news yesterday.
Yeah, we got people from the Tampa area chiming in, letting us know that the Plant girls are pretty dang good down in Tampa. Hey, Mike, you do a tremendous job with high school sports. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on the Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup. Be safe out there and enjoy the calls, my man.
All right. Thanks for the time, Shane. Have a great day.
Absolutely. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. We're going to take a final time out of the program. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this show. We'll talk about who won the GTEC COVID-19 survival kit, and we'll also preview tomorrow's big show. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. GTEC Sport, keep your athletes in the game with GTEC Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Aver and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Harder Apparel,
Silver Q, State Farm Insurance Agent Ruse Ogra.
If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all our great sponsors that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Appreciate Brent Beard joining us on the program today and also Mike Rideout from theprepzone.com. Our winner for the GTEC Sport COVID-19 Survival Kit is Richie Winslow. You are the winner this week. Again, remember, we do a drawing each week. Go to potupwithshane.com, put your name in the hopper, and our great producers will pull out a name, and we'll ship that to you. Also, don't forget, we also give away a signed Chomp Harder hat. You can go to chompharderapparel.com, check out all their hats, different styles, shirts, all that good stuff as well. Tomorrow's program, folks, we're going to have JC on for some Peachland Dentistry weekend picks. We'll be picking golf, I'm sure. But we're going to have Sarah Bailey Thomas. That's what I call her. She goes by Sarah Thomas. She went to my high school. She is a Pascagoula Panther. She will be on, first female referee in the NFL, also the first one to ever referee in a Super Bowl. She did it this past weekend. We will talk to her about her career, how she got started. You will definitely want to tune in. Tell all your friends about the show, too. Check it out tomorrow. You can follow us and like us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any of those crazy platforms that I don't know anything about. You can follow our show. We need followers. So tell your friends to follow us. The more followers, the better. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, folks. Today's show's a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. Be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow.